And I just realized I wasn't recording, so we're going to start again. So Ebiatarin and Sadok have brought the Aaron out to David, and David is talking to Sadok. But Ebiatar will lose the Kohen Gadol. So Shlomo tells him, Anatot, let go to Anatot El Sadecha, to your fields, ki esh mavet atah, because you are a dead man. Literally. But I'm not going to kill you today. Because you carry the Aaron before David, my father. And you suffered with my father. When he was on the run, you were there with him. So I will grant you that. You have to go, you are going to exile, but I'm not going to kill you. And Shlomo sends Abiatar away from being a Kohen to God. And that fulfills the word of God, Asher Diber al Beit Eli B'Shiloh. That curse that was on Beit Eli is finally fulfilled after Shlomo. Basically fires Abiatar. But the hint here is that Abiatar has already fallen out of favor. He may still be the Kohen Gadol, but David is talking to Tzadok. That Tzadok would eventually be, as a descendant of Pinchas, he would be the Kohen Gadol. So what David is saying, what Chazal say, is that when it says, "Vayomer Hamelch el Tzadok haKohen," the king asks Tzadok, "Haro'ata, can you see?" He's specifically talking about the Urim and Tumim of being literally being a seer. You were the one who understood what's going on. You saw it. Then you're the one who's going to take the Aaron back. And this is Gemara Numa. Kol Kohen she'enu medaber beruach haKodesh, any Kohen who doesn't have the Ruach HaKodesh, Ushchina Shura Allah, and doesn't have that sense of Shechina, that's the deed of Umatum, in Sholimbo. Then you don't ask that such a Kohen whether about questions that are addressed to the Umatumim. Shrei Sha'al Tzadok V'al Talo. The Tzadok was asked, and it helped Ebiatar V'al Talo, and Ebiatar could not see. And, that's a one-liner in the Gemara. Radak expands that. The Retain Azal Kiblu, the Chazal understood, Kiba Oto Yom. That's the day that Ebiatar lost the Kohen Gadol. Not in terms of his role, but in terms of the spiritual stature. He could no longer be the one wearing the ephod, speaking with the Aron to him. And Tzadok, from the other side, the Elazar side of the Kohanim, was appointed instead. Why did he lose it that day? He sha'al b'urim b'tumim. David asked the Urim, asked of the Kohen Gadol, and he asked the Urim b'tumim, what should I do? Lo na'ana. And Ebiatar was not answered. But Tzadok sha'al b'na'ana. David says, Tzadok, you try it. And Tzadok was answered. That was a sign. Ebiatar, you're going to lose this kuna. Kim and Shara David, sh'nistal kar ruach ha'kodesh me'Ebiatar. And as soon as David realized, saw that Ebiatar could not ask the Urim b'tumim anymore, that was clearly the point where the curse of Eli was going to come into effect. But Tzadok was not actually appointed the real Kohen Gadol. Until he was just sort of waiting in the wings. It would be another 5 years until Tzadok actually becomes the Kohen Gadol.
You translated na'ana as asked, but isn't it, he wasn't
sha'al, answered? Here we go, this one, sha'al, tzadok sha'al v'na'ana. He asked and was answered.
And was answered, right. So the other guy asked, but he wasn't answered, but he asked.
The first guy, sha'al v'urim t'umim v'lo na'ana.
Oh, sorry, yeah, I didn't see that.
So Ebiatar asked and wasn't answered, tzadok asked and was answered. That's a sign from God that Ebiatar no longer is worthy of the Kohen Gadol. It won't actually happen yet, but he's got 5 years of being a lame duck Kohen Gadol.
But here's an example, Danny, of where it seems like Ebiatar is a good guy. He helps David. And yet, because of his familiar relationship, you know, he's, you know, the honor of being a Kohen is taken away from him.
Right. I mean,
he's getting a punishment from a prior generation.
That's true. It's kind of, it worked out that way because it only happens when he makes the mistake. Remember, he's the Abiatar himself is the one who goes with Adoniyahu, not Shlomo. Mm. Shlomo is anointed, selected by David to be the successor. Then Adoniyahu basically rebels against Shlomo, and Abiatar goes with Shlomo. And Abiatar goes with Adoniyahu. So that's what Shlomo does. Shlomo doesn't do it because of the curse that's hanging on there. He does it because Abiatar has rebelled against him.
Because of the political thing.
Right. And it's the Navi who says, this finally fulfills the curse that had been there from all this time. Mm-hmm. That's a problem with projections that, with Nevuah, it's going to happen. We don't know how or why.
Or when. It's gonna
happen. Right. And you look back and say, here's how it happened. Right. You couldn't have gone, looked at Eli and said, here's what's going to happen. It will happen. Okay. And the Malbim specifically reads the pasuk here when he says, I'm going to go pull the...
Haro'ata.
Yeah, let's go back. So here when he says Haro'ata, he reads the whole pasuk. Haro'ata shava ha'ir b'shalom as being what you're seeing. It's like, you see, it says, this is what the Urim Ketuvim says. It says, shava ha'ir b'shalom. That's what David asked. That's the Malbim. Vaitai tshuva sh'Urim Ketuvim, shuva ha'ir b'shalom. And David's asking, what should I do right now? And he asks Urim Ketuvim, and Abiatar doesn't have an answer. So he says that Aaron should go back to Yerushalayim. Shatot elu bal tumim ha'Urim Ketuvim, that's what the letter sticking out when you sort of the idea of reading the Urim Ketuvim, reading the Eifod. And as David said, I now know what God wants me to do. Bring the Aaron back, and I have to deal with that. So the Aaron goes back, Tzadok and Abiatar in Yerushalayim, and David continues on, and now David breaks down. David Olev Ma'ala Hazitim, and David is climbing up the Har Hazitim. We got the geography here, right? He's in the Nachal Kidron, and he's climbing up Har Hazitim. Alo Bocha. He's climbing and crying. Rosh Lo Chafui, with his head covered, Hu Halach Yachak, and he's going barefoot, like a mourner. Chol Amesh Yirito, Chafui Rishosho, and everyone else is covering their head. Balu Alo Bocha, everyone's going and crying with him as he's leaving. And this is the first time David starts crying. As he's leaving, everybody else is crying, but he's kept his composure. Right, this is back, Pasachav Gimel, so this is 7 psukim before, as they're leaving Yerushalayim. Kol ha'aretz bochim kol gadol, everyone is crying in a loud voice, kol ha'am avrim, all that his people are passing by. Vamelech avar b'nachal kidron, and the king goes through the Nachal Kidron, kol ha'rim al p'nei derech ha'mebar, and they're heading to the wilderness. That was before, now it's David crying. I say he's crying because as he's going up from Har Zeitim, that's when he can look back at Yerushalayim. He really is leaving. It's everything he believes in. Malbim puts it, David Olech Harei Nifrad Me'aron Elokim. David's going up after he leaves. He's separated from the Aron. V'Gila Har Zeitim. That's Har Zeitim. Tashem Yipared Me'ir Elokim. That was really the point where he felt he was leaving Yerushalayim, holy city. That's what he's crying and mourning. Like, this is real now. I've now lost Yerushalayim.
So Danny, this is after the whole thing with him dancing with the Aaron.
Well, after that, yeah.
And
yeah,
having the picnic with everybody and giving food and stuff.
He brings the Aaron to Yerushalayim when he is 37 years old and he is now 65.
Oh, okay, this is way after.
Living in Yerushalayim with the Aaron there. For the past 28 years.
Oh, okay.
Right? He's been working to try to build this Aron, this Ohel, where the Aron is, into Beit HaMikdash, and now he's failed. It's all over. Very depressing. Okay? And the doc says, Gilgamesh Ma'aleh Zeitim, Kedagum Maskana towards Eita, it says, you're going up Har Zeitim. Well, Allah Sham Lisabot Lashem, and that's where he went to bow to God. That's where he would go to bow. We'll see that. Yisham Kimi Har Zeitim Yireh Adam Makom Beit Midash. Because you look from there and see Har Abayit. Okay? And, well, from David, obviously, it wasn't Har Abayit then, but he still had this ohel where the Aaron was. That's where you can see the shul, the place that he had wanted to turn into the Beit HaMikdash. He's going up the Har HaZeitim. He turns around, he sees it, and now he realizes that things are really over. This is real. And the next pasuk is when he realized that no matter how awful things look, they can always get worse. I'm sorry. Okay? Because what happens now? He's on Har HaZeitim. Aaron's gone back to Yerushalayim. He's got his people, probably about 300 to 600 men. He's got a bunch of policemen with him and a crazy plaiti. And he's got his son coming to him with all of Israel, our army, probably going to want to kill him. David higid lemor. And David says, Achitofel b'ksharim. Remember Achitofel? His trusted advisor, the grandfather of Bathsheba. Right? I'm sorry?
He's the grandfather of Bathsheba?
Grandfather of Bathsheba. And David says now, Achitofel b'ksharim im Avshalom. Achitofel is one of the conspirators with Avshalom. Mar David, and now David prays, Sakel na atzat Achitofel Hashem. Please, God, defeat Achitofel's counsel. I can handle my spoiled pretty boy son, but if Achitofel's working against me, I've got no help. So Rashi says, David Hagid, what does that mean? Rashi says he was told. There's a missing lamed. It's Uli David Higid Hamagid. Right. The subject here is some anonymous teller, and he was told, but the Malbim says that literally, no, it's David Higid. David's saying that. Because David's looking around at who's with him. As he said, Malbim says, as some alibo, he notices, he pays attention, shalom ba'achitofel, imo. And of all the people who are here, Achitofel's not there. In fact, Achitofel wasn't Yerushalayim at all. We saw when Avshalom brought him, it was from Gilo, from the city. Achitofel hasn't been in Yerushalayim. And he realized what's happened over the past, 25 years. Finally, putting the pieces together, that his best friend has been working to murder him over the past 25 years. That's David Higid. He says it out loud, but Omer said, wait a minute. Achitofel is part of this. He says that out loud. And this is really the lowest point. Because at that point, he knows he's lost the Malchut, he's lost his Beis HaMikdash, he's lost his Aaron. But with Avshalom leading rebellion, he may survive. Maybe he can retire somewhere and go to Moab and write his Tehillim and write his memoirs. That's why Gemara Brachot says it. Because when the Perek Tehillim about Avshalom's rebellion is called a Mizmor, with David, the Brachot Mishalom. Why is it called Mizmor? A song? Akan David, when he heard that he was cursed after Bathsheba, that the evil will come out of his house, he was depressed. Maybe it'll be one of my servants who will rebel against me, or one of the royal bastards, which I love reading English history. We know what happens with that. We know about Mordred and Arthur. They'll kill me. No, came the chazda Avshalom when he realized it was Avshalom, it's his son. Hayah Sameach, that's better. Avshalom doesn't want to kill me. I know that. We've seen that before multiple times. But Achitofel is the Ebed. Achitofel wants him dead. We know that. And David is finally putting that all together. Achitofel wants revenge for Sheba, and he wants David dead. We will see that when Achitofel says. This is next parak. When we see Achitofel talking to Avshalom. What to do from here. Vayomer Achitofel Avshalom, Evachara na 12,000 ish. Let me pick 12,000 men. Vakuma ve'erdafa achrei David halayla. Let me go after David tonight. Vavoilav, and I'll come to him. Hu yagev rafe yadayim, and he'll be exhausted and weak. Vecharay tiyotel, and I'll throw his entire camp into panic. V'nas kol amashirito, and everyone will scatter. And I will strike him down myself, alone. That's Achitofel's words. So, So this is a low point. So as soon as he says that, he prays. Please, God, defeat the council of Achitofel, because Achitofel is the military advisor, and then Providence comes riding out of the west, out of the sunset. Here comes the hero.
Is that pasuk?
Which pasuk?
David saying, defeat Achitofel's plan.
That is pasuk. Lamed Aleph.
Yeah. What's that word there? Sakel?
Sakel. Like a sechel is to be a fool. Make it foolish.
Oh, okay. That's funny. Right. Sechel and sechel.
It is very ironic that, yeah, sechel with a sin and sechel with a samach. Right. The line between wisdom and foolishness is fine. Okay. So what happens right then? Vahi David ba ad harosh, asheisha chavesh sham lakim, and David comes to the top of the mountain. This is Har Zeitim now, where he would bow down, as Rashi says, asheisha chavesh sham lakim, she ragilish tachavot sham. That's where he would always bow down. Sheya ba yushalayim. When he's coming from the east to Yushalayim, that's where he would stop in Davin. He had his little shul there. Haya roam misham et ha'ol sharam b'tachol, because you can see Yushalayim there. See what would be Harabayit, that's where he would bow. Right, that's a place for David. He gets to the top of the mountain. He's got his little shul. And they're coming out of Yerushalayim is Chushi Arki. We haven't met before at all. He's a good guy.
I just want to add, Danny, if you go to Har Zeitim today, they put up the Mormon University. And if you go to one of their musical programs, which is like not religious or anything, Their stage has this huge glass background where you're looking at Har Abayit, and it's mamash. You're like, see it. You're like, blown up in your face. You know, when you're growing up with a calf, there is right behind it a yeshiva. So they still have an ohel to pray in.
Okay. So that's probably the same place, I would assume.
Probably. Right,
Without Mormons.
Without the Mormons, but the Mormons are there.
Yeah. So we'll see. There might have been Mormons there at that point. We'll have to look at that.
I thought the Mormons were pretty new.
Yes, I do not think the Mormons, literally, we're not literally Mormons there. at that point. But we're going to look at this, we're going to develop that idea. It's a very interesting Gemara on that. But I'm going to look at Hushi Arki, who comes, and his kutanto, karua kutanto, his clothes are torn, adama al rosho, and dirt on his face, because he is running as fast as he can. Okay, who is Hushi Arki? We haven't seen him before, but if you look at Divrei Yamim, when it's got the list of David's advisors and his band of men, it says, Divrei Yamim, Achitofel Yoitzel Melech, Achitofel was the advice of the king, Hushai Arki Re'al Melech, and Hushai was the friend of the king. Somehow parallel to Achitofel. Been there the whole time. He's an old man at this point. David's an old man. These are old men. He's running as fast as he can with his clothes torn and his face dirty. And we've seen that before, and it was a bad thing.
The contrast between Yoetz and Rea is interesting. I mean, there's a difference, right?
Yes. Closer to. And then, right, Achitofel may have been the Yoetz, but Kuli is not really friendly. But at this point, we want to kill him. So, to spoiler alert, Hushai Arki will help David through all of this. Okay, the title of this is called Conspiracy Theory. We're going to watch Hushai. Tell you what's going to happen. Hushi Arki is going to go back to Yerushalayim. And he is the one who will be Sakel outside the Achitofel. He's going to be very, going to give very, very clever advice and work this all out. Looking at he's coming with his clothes torn. We've seen that because we've seen that back when the point where the Mishkan Shiloh was destroyed back in the beginning of Shmuel. When Eli's sons die in battle against the Plishtim, and Eli dies of shock when he finds out this battle. Aron Elokim Nilkach, the Aron was taken, Rishnei b'nei Eli made to Chofmi Pinchas, and Eli's sons die. V'yaretz ish Binyamin Meracha, and a Binyaminite runs from the battlefield, By goes Shiloh Biamadu, he gets to Shiloh. My dove Kruim, his clothes are torn, but the Ma'ar Rosho, there's dirt on his face, on his head. Same exact idea that we're coming from the scene of battle. Echoing this. This is bad. Eli Yosheva Kisei, Yaderach Mitzpah, and Eli's sitting there on his chair, by the way, watching Kieli Bochara, because he was terrified. Of course, the Aron had been taken out of the Mishkan, and he didn't have a good feeling about this. And the messenger comes, and everyone's crying out and crying over the loss of the Aron. So Hushea Arki, the Reah of David, comes out of the city, clearly as a refugee. And the text doesn't tell us what he says. And for that, we're going to have to look at the Midrashim that kind of fill the background in there. And that's going to be the rest of this shir. The text only tells us what David tells Hushai. And what David does is suddenly David has a plan. Vayomer lo David, im avarta iti, vayita alai lamasa. Hushai, I'm glad to see you. You're my Rea. But if you come with us, you're just going to be a burden. You're an old man. I can't carry you all the way out to across the Jordan when I'm going to fight a war. But if you go back to Yerushalayim, Marta l'Avshalom, and you tell Avshalom, Abadecha ani hamelech, I am, O king, Avshalom, you are now, I acknowledge you as king, I am your servant. Abadecha ani hamelech, I will be your servant. I was your father's servant forever. Now I'm your servant. I am trained. I am now loyal to you. And you need to defeat Achitophel's counsel. Achitophel tells Absalom what to do. He's going to kill me. You need to work this out and make it not happen. And the wording here is funny because it has the extra vavs in here, and Rashi says, "Eved Avichav Ani Me'az," I, servant of your father, and I from before, meaning "Kamo Vani Eved Avichav Me'az." I was the servant of your father from in the past. Mikra Musurasu. It's Mikra Musurasu. It's chopped up, mixed up. The text is mixed up. You need to rearrange the words. And Yudakil is the editor of the Dot Mikra from the. Mr. Rav Cook on Tanakh says that that's kind of the sense of the text. Efshar she mikra kotev al derech sirus, that the words are so hard to are mixed up. Kedei lehavatei, to express et sarat rucho, to express his stress. The gimgumo shel dover, that the idea he is stuttering at this point. Hmm. If you're going back, don't be too smooth about this. I'm sure I'm not going to believe you. Act like you're really stressed and don't know what's going on, but you're still you're throwing your lot in with Avshalom. You're going to be my spy in Yerushalayim. Alo imcha shem tzadok v'yavatar kohanim. And back in Yerushalayim are tzadok and yavatar the kohanim. They're on my side. I sent them back. So if you find anything out from the house of the king, that's Avshalom now. That's not the king now. Let the Kohanim know. And their sons, I told them that they need to get, that their sons know what's going on. Their sons can leave. They have two sons there. And then have them come to me. Anything that they know. Now that he's got his spy network in Yerushalayim, he's got someone who's hopefully will be part of the inner council of Absalom, he'll be able to defeat him. David Ha'ir, so Hushi, who is the Rea of David, comes to Yerushalayim. Absalom Yavo, not let's say will come, but is coming, Yerushalayim. As Absalom's coming to the city, David is then on Haraz Etim, sorry, outside the city.
How did you translate the last word of the first sentence there? Vayita alai
lemasa. You will be a burden on me. If you come with me, you're not going to help. You're a burden. You're an old man.
Okay.
I'm an old man too, David said, but I got to be me. But I don't need more old men here. I need young warriors. you're going to be more useful to me if you go back to your Yerushalayim.
Okay.
Okay? So there we have the counter-conspiracy set. It says he doesn't want to fight. He's going to work surreptitiously to undermine Avshalom and somehow bring this back. He's running away. But at least now at this point, something's changed. He's not just saying, oh, whatever God wants, it'll happen. Now he's actually got a plan in place. So now we got to go back and what did Hushai tell David that David really changes his outlook? He's not crying anymore. Now he's determined we've got a plan here. We can do something. So I'm going to end for right now with an amazing Gemara. Okay, this is the Midrashic. What is Hushai and David's conversation beforehand that changes David's mind, changes David's outlook? Verse 24. Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav. Bikesh David lavod avodah zarah. And Phyllis jaw drops, okay? Right, he goes hires a team, and there's the Mormons right there, just like we said. David wants to, at that point, when he's running away and hires a team, David was going to worship avodah zarah. And it says, "Vid David ba ad harosh asher shtachavasham le'Elohim." He went to the head that was where they bowed down to the gods, translating that not as kadosh. And he translates rosh literally as there was a big head there. As we, is a pasuk in Daniel, when it talks about the seeing this vision of a statue with a head of gold and the torso of silver and the feet of clay. Hutsama reshe de dehavtav. Okay, very midrash. Clearly not the pshat text, but what does it mean? Okay, v'nei l'kratot chushi arki karuk tanov adama al rosho. So Hushai comes, and then he is a refugee running, and he sees David. Amar lo David. So Hushai says to David, as he wants to work, he's going to go bow down to this rosh. Yomru melech shekamodcha yavod avodah zarah. A king like you is going to worship avodah zarah? What are you doing? You're David HaMelech. So David says back, that a king like me, his son's going to kill him. Mutab yavod avodah zarah. Better that I should serve avodah zarah. And there shouldn't be a public chilul Hashem. Rashi says what he's saying is, verse 25, that if the civil war happens and my son kills me, and that everyone thinks that I'm such a chassid, everyone thinks I'm perfect, you, mitramim al midot shel kadosh baruch hu. They'll assume that Hashem isn't really just. If Avshalom wins and everyone thinks that I'm perfect, then they'll say, well, God obviously doesn't exist, or he's not judging the world. Obviously, you know, this is just random. That's a mitzam shem shamayim mitchalel v'parhesia, and therefore that will be a chilul Hashem. I worship avodah zarah. I should do this publicly. Then I will do it, and then everyone would assume that I would put to death because God thought I deserved to be put to death because I was worshiping avodah zarah. And everyone else will not. No, I do not understand this at all. And we're not done yet. Okay, we've still got another. Oh, it looks like 4 pages. Try to figure this out. Fascinating. So Hushai says back. Hushai's answer to David is, my time has nesivit b'yifat tovar. Completely changed the subject. What were you thinking when you married an eshet b'yifat tovar? Talking about Avshalom, his son. His mother was the bat melech kishur, one of these eshet b'yifat tovar from yesterday's parsha. And she was captured in battle. We talked about that both when we talked about when Avshalom was born and the nature of Avshalom's rebellion, and that. Yeah. So yes. Yeah. Why do you take this woman at all? If you hadn't taken her, then you wouldn't have Avshalom wouldn't be your son. You wouldn't have this problem. Amar le yifat Torah rachmana sharia. So David says back, the Torah says it's fine. Yifat Torah is a permissible according to the Torah. Amar le, so Hushai says back, lo darasht smuchin the samikle. Didn't you read the pasuk? Pay attention to what the smuchin. What comes afterwards? What's the parsha after? Very good. You should have read the, you can read the Torah, tell me it was okay. Yeah, we keep reading. That's Gemara. What does that do with Avodah Zarah? What has to, whether that the Chil Hashem? I want to put this Gemara back into it, but I'm going to stop here. We'll continue next week. Should have a couple of 2 weeks, 3 weeks until.
Hey, it doesn't connect. I mean, it's a cute thing. Why did you marry that woman? But it's not what you would say when he's about to bow down to Avodah Zarah, right?
Right. With this weird excuse of, well, it wouldn't. It's a worse Chil Hashem if Avshalom kills me, then I worship Avodah Zarah.
Well, no, that then it's clear God is sending Avshalom to kill me because I'm bad.
Right. But the fact he's worshiping Avodah Zarah is itself a Chil Hashem. So he's judging which is the worst one. Right. You know, well, better I should worship Avodah Zarah and not have Hashem. So let's leave this in the air. Let's stop here and continue on.